chapter 40. That is page 583 if you're in this Bible. If you're in one with a cross in it, it's somewhere. But it's Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to begin reading at verse 21, and we're going to read through all the way through verse 31. Isaiah 40, page 582. We're going to begin reading with verse 21, and we're all going to read God's Word together with our outside voices. So let's read together. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when He blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because He is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Many of you have heard of R.C. Sproul. He is the founder of Ligonier Ministries. He pastored St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida. He was the first president of Reformation Bible College and the executive director of Table Talk magazine. His radio program, titled Renewing Your Mind, is still broadcast daily on hundreds of stations around the world and online as well. One day, after he had given a speech, they opened it up for questions. And a question was asked him, and this is the question that was asked. What do you think is the most important question that Christians need to have answered? What do you think is the most important question that Christians need to have answered? Now, how would you answered that question? Maybe we might have said, why do bad things happen to good people? Or maybe we might have said, why is there so much suffering on the earth? Maybe we thought the most important question is, how can you know God's will? But I love the answer that Sproul gave, and this was the answer he gave to the question, what is the most important question that Christians need to have answered? This was his answer. The most important thing for modern Christians to understand is who God is. The most important thing for modern Christians to understand is who God is. And then he went on and said this, there is a famine in the knowledge of God in general, and the knowledge of God the Father in particular. And then he added this caveat. A flea could wade in the depth of knowledge about God in the mind of the average Christian. Wow. A flea could wade in the depth of knowledge about God in the mind of the average Christian. In other words, we don't know much about God. Each week, we recite the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the communion of saints. I just messed up. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And so the question comes to mind is this. We recite those words every week, but do we believe them? Do we really believe that there is a God, the Father, Almighty? And if we believe that, what does that mean? And if we believe that, how do we live that out? That opening line of the Apostles' Creed is probably the greatest area of struggle for us as believers. I believe in God, the Father. We talked about that last week. That sometimes our experiences with our own father can vitiate our view of God. And so because our father was cruel, our father was abusive, our father was non-caring, our father was absent, then when somebody talks about God's your father, we sort of carry that picture and we see God in that same way. And so we struggle with this loving, merciful, kind, compassionate father when what we have to compare him to is totally different. But we also struggle with this last part, that God is almighty. If we really believe that God is almighty, then it would change the way we live, and it would certainly change the way we pray, and of course it would change the way we view Scripture. Because if you go throughout both the Old and the New Testament, you will find that the Scripture affirms over and over and over and over again that God is mighty, that God is powerful, that God can do anything He desires to do, that God is almighty. Psalm 62:11 says this, "One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love." Psalm 93:4, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breaking of the seas, the Lord on high is mighty." In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus said this, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The angel Gabriel, when he was explaining to Mary that she had been chosen by God and she was going to bring forth Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, and she says to him, "How can this be? I've never been sexually intimate with a man." The angel said to her in Luke 1:37, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." In the book of Revelation, we find four different passages where God is describing Himself. The first one is in Revelation 1:8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And then in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, John is describing the four living creatures. And he said, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with all's eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" Later in Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, we hear the chorus ringing out before God, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." And then finally, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 7, John talks about the voices hearing from the altar. And he said, "And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.'" All throughout the Scripture not only says that God is almighty, but the Scripture shows us examples of the almighty power of God. And it shows us examples in various illustrations that there is nothing too hard for God to do. So if God is God the Father Almighty, how should it affect the way that I live? How do I carry that into the year 2023? How do I carry that into my workplace? How do I carry that into the classroom? How do I carry that into my family? How do I carry that into my coffee group? How do I carry that into my ladies' gathering? How do I carry that into my own life? Well, first of all, if I truly believe that God is God the Father Almighty, that truth, that belief, will strengthen me when I'm going through times in which my mind is filled with questions about the ability of God. For example, Jeremiah has been prophesying that the nation of Israel, or Judah, is going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. He ends up being in prison because the king is tired of Jeremiah's prophecies. And while he's there, God speaks to him and says, "I want you to buy some land in Jerusalem." And of course, Jeremiah begins a conversation with God, and the conversation goes something like this: "For years, you've been telling me to prophesy that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Why do you want me to buy property there?" And God says this to Jeremiah in the 32nd chapter, the 27th verse. "Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." And then he asked him a question: "Is there anything too hard for me to do?" I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down before the altar of King before the idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, you know the story, how the king brings them before the fiery furnace and he says, "Obviously you didn't hear the instructions, but I'm going to give them to you again. When they blow the trumpet, you bow down and worship." And they said, "We're not going to do it." And of course, he tells them, "If you don't, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace." And this was their answer in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Now think about it. They're standing on the edge of death. And this is how they respond: "If we are thrown into the flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us out of your hand, Your Majesty." He's God Almighty. And you can bring us up to the very edge of the furnace, but if God says you're not going in, we're not going in. Jairus, in the Gospel of Luke, comes to Jesus. "Jesus, my little girl, my only child is dying. But if you'll come and just lay your hand on her, she'll be healed." And of course, you know the story. Jesus is going there, and the woman in the well, the woman with the issue of blood, getting off on the Apostles' Creed has really got me off today. From now on, Ken, you leave 881 laid open here. The woman with the issue of blood touches Jesus, and Jesus stops and carries on a conversation. And during this conversation, just as it is ending, some friends from Jairus' home come and they say, "Jairus, you need to come home. Your wife needs you. Your daughter is dead." And this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 50. Hearing that she's dead, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians from a Roman jail cell. He may be facing execution. He's not sure if he's going to get out or not. He's living not in some prison like we know today or a jail like we know today. He is basically in a dungeon where if he does not pay for his food, if someone does not bring him food, he does not eat. There is no bathroom to go to. There's no toilet. There's no wash basin there. He is in the worst of the worst situation. But in writing this letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord." So if I really believe that God is God the Father, Almighty, then when I am in those times in my life in which things are not going well and my mind is filled with questions and doubt seems to be attacking me and everybody's telling me this is going to happen and that's going to happen and this is going to happen and that's going to happen, is it those times that I should say, but wait, I believe in the Lord God Almighty? Well, you know what the doctor said. Yeah, but I know what I believe. And I believe in the Lord God Almighty. Well, you know what happened to my son, and the same thing's going to happen to your son. Yeah, but wait, I believe in the Lord God Almighty. You know what's going to happen. You know how bad the economy is right now, and you're probably going to lose your job, and there goes your retirement, and you're going to be begging for money. But wait a minute, I believe in the Lord God Almighty. It's going to prompt me to pray boldly. It's going to get me away from mealy mouth, lukewarm, mushy, gushy prayers. And it's going to cause me to pray boldly, to come before the throne of God boldly, knowing that there I will find grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. It's going to embolden me, like we see with when Jesus is walking, to reach out and grab that garment and say, nothing else will help me, but if I can just touch Jesus, I know I'll be made well. It's going to cause me to pray boldly, to believe boldly, to have faith boldly, to say, it doesn't matter to me what you say, I believe God. Because oftentimes we talk about what we believe in church, but then we get outside of church and we get back in life again, and our actions and our prayers betray our belief about God the Father Almighty. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, "Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." And then three verses later, he said this, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Jesus said this in John 16:24, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And John said this in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, "This is the confidence, not the hope, not the want to, not the try to, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him." You will never go wrong if you pray boldly. You will never go wrong if you stand upon the Word of God and say, "Father, this is what Your Word says, and I'm believing Your Word. This isn't what I said, Lord. I didn't write it in there. You put it in there. This is what You said, and so I'm going to stand upon Your Word." "Yeah, but Rodney, you don't know about my aunt. What happened to her?" No, I don't. But I still believe in praying boldly. Pray. What's the worst thing God could say? No. When I was in working with the bank and I would go meet with clients, I would watch these, you know, get all pumped up and primed up before you try to go make the big deal. And they would always say, the worst thing they can say is, Carl, no. But you know what? If God says no, here's what I fall back on. For I know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. So God, if you're telling me no, it's not because you're angry with me or upset with me. It's because you got something better for me. You got something better for me. Pray boldly. Ask. Seek. Knock. Tell God, this is what your word says, Lord. This is what your word says. I'm going to pray boldly. And I'm going to keep praying boldly until you tell me something else. And lastly, if I really believe in God the Father Almighty, it will empower me and it will embolden me to pray about everything. Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning verse 16. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul again writes, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I decided this year, beginning of this year, I was going to start something new. I wanted to develop a different pattern in my life. Because here's the way my pattern usually was. Wherever I'm going to go, I get on my clothes, I get dressed, I grab my keys, I grab my billfold, I go out the door, I crank the car, I try to remember to let the garage door up first. I back out, I'm gone. And I am task-oriented. I have on my phone a list. I have a phone on the list right now of everything I'm supposed to do today. And as I go through it, I check it off. There's a little red X pops up. I hit that, closes out, boom, move on to the next one. That's the way I've lived my life. And so that was the way I would go. Okay, it'd be like, okay, first place I got to be. I need to be here at 8:30. I got to get gone. And go. Now I've started doing this. I get in the car. While I'm sitting in the garage, before I crank the car, I just say, Father, I know You're with me. Your word says You'll never leave me, You'll never forsake me. You see what my day holds. And so I'm asking You for Your protection. I'm asking You for Your favor. I'm asking You to give me wisdom. And I always try to include this, and let me be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And then I'm ready to go. I want to invite Him into my day. I want to invite Him into my list. I want to invite Him into my calendar. I want to begin the day by saying, God, You know what this day holds. I don't, but You do. But I am so grateful that You're going ahead of me. I am so grateful that You're with me. I'm so grateful that You protect me. And I'm so grateful that I'm the head and not the tail. And that You're going to show me favor today. That I am going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes I even pray the Psalms. I say, Lord, Your Psalm says this, You'll satisfy me with a long life and show me Your salvation. And Lord, I'm not yet satisfied. I'm not satisfied yet, Lord. Don't just wait until the doctor has given you some kind of diagnosis before you decide, you know, I probably ought to start praying now. Start praying. Lord, here's my day. Here's everything that's on my schedule, Lord. But Lord, you know what I'm doing right now, Lord? I'm putting my schedule into Your hands. You do what You want to do. Do we believe in God the Father Almighty? Well, we must. We say it every Sunday.
But now let's live it. Let's live it. Let's go out of the doors of this church. Let's go back out into the world. Let's go facing our situation. Let's go facing whatever may be going on in your life. What may be going on in the life of one of your children. What may be going on in the life of one of your grandchildren. Let's go out and face that and say, God, I believe you are Father God. You're God the Father Almighty. And you're going to show your might and your power in my life today, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, you are almighty. There is nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, you're not tied up by circumstances. You don't wring your hands over a doctor's diagnosis. You don't lay awake at night tossing and turning with worry and trepidation. You're not walking the halls of heaven trying to figure out what you're going to do. You are God, Father Almighty. And we thank you that we're your children. And that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that you will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So Lord, today, we believe that not only here as we recite the words, but Father, we believe it tomorrow morning when we walk into the office. Tomorrow morning as we go to an appointment to meet someone or to see a doctor or an attorney, we believe that you are still on the throne. And we thank you that you are working mightily on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.